Welcome back to the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. If you celebrated, if you did not celebrate, I hope you had a wonderful week nevertheless. And this episode is unlike any episode I've done before. I'm really excited for you to hear it. I get on the phone with Susan Niebergall, which is not unusual. Her and I talk all the time. She's fucking amazing. But I surprised Susan. I did not tell her what was going to happen. So we got on the phone and I said, Susan, we're going to do a rapid fire Q&A. Just random questions that you have no idea that what I'm going to ask, and you just have to provide your answer as honestly and as quickly as possible. There are everything from who's your favorite superhero to what's one thing that annoys the shit out of you, all the way to if you had to give someone advice to get their first chin up, how would you structure their training program? Or how do you recommend people overcome binge eating if that's something they struggle with? So a lot of different topics. It was a really fun episode to record. If you have any questions or comments, please let me know. Hope you have a good time listening to it. I'll talk to you soon.
Susan's live.
Hey, I am here.
Cool. Just for everyone listening, Susan and I did not know it, but we both just peed at the same time right before we got on, which is very exciting.
Yes, we did.
I was like, are you ready? You're like, almost. Give me a second. And I was like, okay. Then I went to pee. You're like, okay, good. Just had to pee. I was like, wow, we're so in sync. I'm very excited because you don't know what I'm about to do.
No, I don't.
I'm very excited about this. So usually we get on and we sort of just have an open discussion, whatever things are going on, whatever like we want to talk about, and always end up talking about fitness related stuff, mindset stuff, strength training, nutrition, consistency, motivation. We always have that type of discussion, but I wanted to change it today, and I figured the best way to change it, Susan, would be to surprise you and not tell you what the fuck I have planned.
So, oh boy.
I don't know how it's going to go, but I could only imagine it's going to be magical. So okay. What I've done is I've compiled a list of questions, many questions, and we might not do all of them, but I figured we should do it in more of a rapid fire way where I ask a question and you answer just based on instinct. And it doesn't have to be a fast answer, but I'm going to ask a question, and some are fitness related, some are not fitness related. Some have literally nothing to do with fitness, some have everything to do with fitness. And yeah. I didn't really get into anything inappropriate in this one. I'm sure we'll do more inappropriate ones down the road, but definitely some good ones. And if you want to interpret it inappropriately, by all means, that's up to your prerogative. Like, that'd be great. I think this is a really cool way to get to know you better. And also, there's going to be some really deeper questions I'm excited to hear you answer. And I think a lot of people are going to like learning about you more and also benefit from hearing what you have to say about certain things. So without any further ado, Susan, are you ready for this rapid fire Q&A?
Yeah. So rapid fire, I don't have to like answer quickly, right?
It doesn't have to be like, all right, Susan, what did you just do? I went pee. Like, you don't have to do that. But, like, it's, like, the main thing is, for me, with a rapid fire, is your answers are based on gut. Like, you just, you start answering almost as soon as you know it's like, you just start speaking. Like, it's not like, well, let me think about it. Like, just, like, start talking and word vomit. Just get it out. But it does not have to be, like, a one-word answer at all.
Okay.
Unless I say a one-word answer, which I think I do that a couple times. So, first and foremost, are you a morning person or a night person?
Morning person.
Who is your favorite superhero and why?
Oh, probably Batman, actually.
Okay, why Batman? I like that.
Growing up, I don't know if I have a particular reason because I just was fond of Batman through my childhood. And so whenever I think of superhero, he's the first one that comes to mind because I was hooked on Batman as a kid.
Was he the only one that you paid attention to?
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
All right. What is one thing that annoys the living shit out of you? That's like that. Oh, you know she's thinking of something good right now.
Well, there's a ton of that shit that I could go into. The one thing, the probably top of my list right now is when people in my house leave dishes in the sink, dirty dishes in the sink, when the damn dishwasher is 6 inches away.
Are you saying this because Tim is right there and that's what he's been doing?
Oh, he's not right here, but he knows that pisses the living shit out of me. And my son will do it too. Mike does it occasionally because he probably gets it from his dad. But I'm like, you guys, the dishwasher is right here.
That's so funny. That's okay. All right. What is your all-time favorite book and why?
Gosh. Let's come back to that because
nope.
I have to literally I have to sit here in silence and think of all.
Then we will all sit here in silence and wait for your answer.
Shit. I can't even remember half the books that I read. I will tell you one that I'm reading right now that would probably make at least my top three or four if I could remember half of the books I've read in my entire life. I'm old, so remember, I've read a lot of books.
Oh, please. You're not a day over perfection. Shut
over
it.
Over time.
What book?
I am reading, actually, I think you recommended it, Made to Stick.
That oh my God, how good is that?
That is fascinating to me. And it is, I'm enjoying that as much and getting more out of that probably as much as any book that I've read in recent memory.
So funny story about that. Made to Stick for the longest time has been one of my all-time favorite books, bar none, probably top three for sure. Outside of the Harry Potter series. But like,
right.
They, Chip and Dan Heath, thought they wrote Made to Stick, they wrote Decisive, they wrote Switch. I always thought there was no way they could outdo themselves and outdo Made to Stick. I didn't think. They recently came out with a new book called The Power of Moments, which I'm literally reading, like, not in this moment, but now. It's like the newest book I'm reading. It is unbelievable. It is so far, it is on par, if not better, than Made to Stick. And it's blowing me away. And Made to Stick was my favorite book for years. So after you read that, and actually, when I texted you a couple days ago some ideas for the Inner Circle stuff, like for things we should start, was sparked from The Power of Moments.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, but awesome. Made to Stick, amazing book. Chip and Dan Heath are just phenomenal authors in general.
Can't wait.
Okay, back to the Q&A. Let's see. What do you think is the best advantage of being very tall?
Well, I will give you a great example of why being tall saved me. Not that I'm tall, but someone else helped me. We were at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade like 3 years ago when Mike was a senior in high school. And literally we decided halfway through the parade, okay, we've seen Mike, we've seen a lot of balloons, bands, I'm done. I need brunch and coffee. So we turn around to leave. And it's wall-to-wall people. Literally, I am like nose-to-nose with people I don't know. I'm trying to leave. And I'm trying to follow Tim, who's not like waiting for me. He's like weaving in and out of people. I'm like, oh, shit. I can't see anything but this guy's face right in front of me. And so this guy behind me, who's like 6'4", is trying to leave. And he's going, okay, I see him. He's off to the right. Take a right. Okay, go around this person. He's down here. Keep going straight. You got it. He directed me. I was like claustrophobic.
I love that. Okay, good. That's good. That's definitely a benefit. Okay. What do you think is the best advantage of being short?
You could probably have crawled through all those people's legs. The advantage of being short. Wow. People consider me short. I don't know. I haven't found that many advantages for myself in my height.
You're not short though.
I didn't think I was either, but I've been called short more times than I can tell you. I don't think I'm short at all. I mean, I'm not tall. I'm average.
Well, what do you think one of being short? Like, what do you think an advantage of being short is? You have to have a tall one and a short one.
Yeah. Being short.
Wow, you just think I have no advantages now.
Maybe, I don't know. Why would it be? I'm drawing a blank.
Come on, Susan. This is rapid fire shit.
I know. Well, I know. I mean, rapid fire, I can take a pass and come back.
No passes. You got to think of an advantage of being short.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah.
Holy shit. I don't know.
Oh, dear Lord. All right. We're going to another one. Okay. What is your favorite workout music?
Interesting question. I have a really eclectic playlist. I will go all the way back on my playlist. I'll have stuff from the 70s, the 80s, and I have a little bit of everything. I am not a heavy metal, hard rocker kind of person. That's not my thing. But yeah, if you were to look at my playlist, I would have a little bit of everything on there.
Okay. All right. What is your favorite exercise of all time?
Chin-ups. Yeah.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that. Do you like working out upper body or lower body more?
Oh, and you know the answer to that.
I do know the answer to that.
Yeah, upper body for sure. And I know I need to work lower body more. Well, not more, but I have become recently more focused on that.
And explain that a little bit. Dive into that a little bit more in terms of, number one, why you like upper body more. Like, objectively, why do you think you like upper body more? And why do you think – why have you started to focus more on lower body?
Love upper body more, I think, because I have seen physical changes from that much quicker than lower body. And so that's always something that will kind of light the fire a little bit more when you see results of your hard work and that kind of thing. And I feel like I am stronger in my upper body than my lower body. So therefore, that's what I want to do. I like it more, so I'm going to want to do it more. So lower body, I realize that is not as strong comparatively as my upper body strength is. And I know I'm starting now to see my legs take some shape. And so that's kind of lit a fire. And I just know that, you know, we all want to do what we're good at. So I know I need to work more on stuff that I'm not as, quote, good at, I guess.
That is a very objective response. And I think you're 100% right. We, as humans, tend to like the things we're good at and hate the things we suck at. And if your upper body was getting stronger and more defined more quickly, then yeah, for sure, you're going to go in the gym and be like, let's do this, because like my progress is so much better. But I specifically asked that question. I had a feeling that's what you were going to say, and I'm glad that you did, because I think a lot of people, they get discouraged. Like, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? So like people who store fat in their legs, you're like, oh, I just wish like my legs had less and like I would store more in my stomach. And people who store it in their stomach, like, oh, I wish I stored more fat in my legs or whatever. It's like people who are like, oh, I wish I had stronger upper body. Well, I wish I had, like, everyone, whatever they have, they want the opposite. And it's very easy to ignore what you have, that like to ignore the positives of what you do have and to focus on the negatives of what you don't have, and then sort of that, let that dictate your actions. And I think you've been a prime example of someone who, yes, like, you're human in that you like the things you're good at, so you'd prefer to do upper body, but you also never let that prevent you from making sure you're working out your lower body, and you continue to get stronger, even working around hip issues, and you still do it. And lo and behold, it's starting to take shape. You're getting that motivation now. It's you're the perfect example of someone who, in a situation where you are recognizing what you would rather do, but you're not letting that keep you from what you know you should do.
Yeah, 100%. And it's also for me too, I think all the body image issues I've had my whole life were centered around lower body issues, which is pretty common, hips and thighs and things like that. So that's another reason why it's probably not my favorite. But here's the irony. I love doing single leg stuff as much as anything else. So I'm not going to say the tide is turning, but I'm enjoying it a whole lot more than I ever used to.
I love that. Okay. And next question. If your gym could only have three pieces of equipment, what would they be and why?
So do you count like plates?
No, plates don't count. Like I would say barbell and plates count as one piece.
Okay. Okay. So three pieces of equipment. Well, I would want them to have the squat rack that they have because that'll take care of a lot of stuff, including chin-ups. Is that so a bar and plate is separate from the squat rack? Yeah.
Correct. Yep.
Okay.
But like, so, like you said, a squat rack could have a lot on it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll take that. I will take a bar and plates and a rack of dumbbells.
Love it. Love it. Awesome. Next question. Let's see. Okay, so now this is one of the questions that we had in the inner circle this month for the Renaissance Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
If you could have, in the inner circle, we said if you could write a letter. Here, if you could have a conversation with your 12-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Wow. And I thought about this, too, after we put that out. I think I would tell her it's okay to make mistakes and that you don't have to be perfect for everybody and that not it's okay that not everyone likes you. Continue to be yourself. You have an incredible heart and a beautiful soul and you want to change the world. So keep changing the world.
Is there anything growing up, whether it was 12 or 18 or 25 or 35 or 45, is there anything that you specifically remember seriously struggling with that, like looking back, you wish you could specifically address?
Yeah, I think family and friends calling me names. Yeah, for sure. And jokingly, and I think too, society was different about so many things back then, but jokingly about my weight, and how much that I internalized that. And you know, you don't really know it as much as you're going through it as you do when you're out of it and you're looking back, you know, and that's when it really kind of hits you. It's like, wow, my family people called me names. I mean, not my mom and dad, but my brother, cousins, you know, people that you think would not do that. And they did.
What did they call you?
Gosh, they called me fat, heavy, husky. Husky was a big word back then. I don't know if people even use that anymore. I'm built like a tank, stuff like stuff similar to that a 12-year-old girl just doesn't want to hear.
And that was part of your response, telling her like people will call you names and you just gotta ignore it.
That's... Oh well, yeah, and not to listen because, you're none of those things. You're a beautiful person, and you love people, and you want to help. That's a big one because I've always wanted to help people. I think, and I would tell her to keep doing that. Never, never, never stop doing that.
I love that because I think a lot of people struggle with that. All the time. I think there are a lot of people who have people who call them names, or whether it's family or friends or colleagues or just random people. And a lot of times people, I think, do it without thinking. A lot of times it might not even be malicious. Sometimes it definitely is. But I think a lot of times people will say things just offhandedly without thinking.
Yeah.
It can really like affect people negatively. Have you gotten over that today? Like if someone said something about you today, like are you at a point where you can sort of brush it off and not let it bother you?
Oh yeah, I think so now. But I will tell you that, I'll tell you this, that familiar nerve will hit right away.
And how do you deal with it?
I just am in such a better place and a more confident place now. So I just kind of let it go off my back and say, it's okay. You're fine. You're good. I just tell myself that, and it just kind of comes and goes. And it's not like I have to really convince myself of anything because I'm in such a different place, but it's a very familiar feeling, very familiar.
Do you think that taking control of your fitness and specifically strength training and getting stronger has played a part in your self-confidence and being able to brush stuff like that off?
Oh, 100%. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I think that is the main driver of all of that. Because, and you and I talk about this all the time, how so many things come with getting strong and not just being able to lift a lot of weight. I mean, there's that too, but there's so many other things that come with it, and confidence and self-esteem and all kinds of things come with it. And sure, I think that's exactly what that is.
I like sort of hanging around this topic because I think it's really important. If there's anybody listening right now who is on the fence about beginning strength training, and you had this one chance to convince someone listening to take the leap and to begin strength training, to get in the gym, to stop neglecting strength, to stop doing either so much cardio or to stop just doing like the baby weights, to really challenge themselves with lifting stronger, to lift heavier, what would you tell them to try and really convince them that it's something they need to do, not just for muscle and for strength, but for them as a person?
You know, I would probably want to, I would probably dig a little deeper and see where they're coming from first, just because that would kind of gauge the conversation. But in general, I would just want them to know that the emotional strength is far greater than the physical strength. And I think that's so, so important. Emotional strength with everything in life, not just going to the gym and lifting that weight, but being able to deal with people like I've had to deal with, or that any of us have to deal with, and being able to do things that we've never done before, and not just in the gym, but anywhere outside of the gym. The confidence that you get from being able to lift something super heavy off the ground translates into the confidence to do things you never would have ever imagined you doing. And the freedom that comes with that is kind of indescribable. It's like the world opens up. And I think it's, gosh, I don't know. It's life changing. And we use that term a lot, but it really truly is life changing.
You know, Susan, I think a lot of people might find you on social media or wherever and see you and be like, wow, like she's so fit. This just must be so, so easy for her, like either genetics or she's obsessed. Like, do you ever wake up and not want to go work out?
Rarely. Very, very rarely. Because I just love it. And I'll put that out there. I didn't always love it.
Tell me about that. When did you not always love it? And what caused that change to, like, how did you go from not loving it to loving it?
I think I didn't love it way back, maybe in the 90s when I first started going. I felt uncomfortable in the gym. I didn't feel, in the weight area. I didn't know what I was doing. I felt uncomfortable there. So I took classes, and there was a bit of a community that was built up through that. And so that helped me get there more, gained a little bit of confidence from that. And I actually hired a trainer back in, 1995 or 1996 or something. And I got the courage actually to do that. I was too afraid to do that prior, and I did that. And so he taught me how to work my way around the weight area. And it kind of just blossomed from there, because I was getting stronger. I started seeing how the results were coming a little bit here and there. And I just, the confidence that I had to go in there on my own just blossomed. And so it just kind of snowballed. And even when I was in the middle of all that yo-yo dieting, where I would lose weight and gain weight and lose it and gain it, even when I was still heavy, I still liked to go. So that kind of stayed with me. But I had to be brave enough to hire that trainer, really, at the very beginning, to show me around. So I had confidence, and then off I went. But I'll tell you about this now. I rarely don't want to go, but it happens. And I had a god-awful day about a week ago. Literally just wanted to quit. and so it's still, you know, I mean, it happens to everybody. So I'm not a perfect anything. I don't have good genetics. My genetics are god-awful, by the way. On both sides of the family, I'm screwed with that. So it has been just on me to break that cycle. And that's just been my determination. And you could dial it back, I guess, to 1996, I guess.
And just sort of referring back to what we spoke about before, it seems like you didn't like it necessarily and weren't really about it very much when it wasn't something that you were good at. But mm-hmm. over time, through practice and consistency, you became good at it and you found success with it, which then drove your motivation,
yeah.
which then drove your consistency.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, that loop of starting with trying to create results. Like, results drive motivation and motivation drives consistency. So I think a lot of people who struggle with not wanting to go, there's that initial sort of lip that you have to get over. And if you can get over that lip and just force yourself, listen, if I say I want to do this, I'm going to fucking do this. And I'm going to go, I'm going to make it happen. And it's going to be uncomfortable. And it will be scary. And it'll be nerve wracking. And it won't be fun. And I might hate every fucking minute of it. But I know that if I do this for 3 months, 6 months, the rest of my life will be changed for the better, because it will no longer be something I'm forced to do. You'll at least have more fun doing it, because you'll see the actual benefits. If people could get to that point where they can just grit their fucking teeth and do it for a little bit consistently, then it would go from a thing that they resent and hate and try to avoid to something that they actually look forward to doing.
That's exactly it. And that first step is the hardest one to do. It just is the hardest. But gosh, if you can take it, your life is just going to change. And you keep after that, your life is going to change. You will be able to do things you've never, ever thought you could do. And I'll just say this. When I have women, middle-aged women, deadlift for the first time and can lift, you know, their body weight off the ground, the joy in their face is, bar none, one of the best things in my life. You know, it's crazy, because I totally get that. And at that point, I know, well, we have just started to change your life.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Okay, Susan, if someone struggles with binge eating, what would be the two most important pieces of advice you could give them?
Number one, stop beating yourself up. That has to be number one, because it is very, very, very common. And then the next thing, well, there's a bunch of things for binge eating. Which one to choose? Only one more thing, not two.
You can give two more.
Okay. Well, okay. So I would tell somebody, I would tell them to stop restricting so much, like during the week, if it's happening on the weekends or whatever. Overall, just stop restricting food so much, because generally that's what I see are the main issues. They're so restrictive. They can't have this. They can't have that. They can't have this. And then eventually they're just like, give me all the food. And they just sit there and they do it. So that's probably it, that big one. And then the not beat yourself up piece about it. Those would be my two. I'll leave it at those.
I love it. So number one, if it happens, there's no use spending time hating yourself, beating yourself up, because number one, it's way more common than people think. And number two, it's not going to ruin your progress doing that.
Right.
And then number three, based on that, is the sooner that you stop hating yourself for it, the sooner that you can get over it. And then the other one is stopping restricting foods. A lot of binge eating, it's sort of like someone says, don't pull the fire alarm. All of a sudden, you sort of want to pull the fire alarm. And it's
all the time.
There's no logical reason for it other than be like, they said don't do it, so I want to do it. Or it's like the funniest thing, that I love this, when I'm out in public or whatever, and a mom says, like, don't step in the puddle. And then you can see the kid, like, sort of just, like, slowly bringing their foot over towards the puddle while looking at their mom to see if they're going to catch them. Just to, like, do it. Just have that urge. When someone says don't do something, you have this urge to do it. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think it's a very subconscious thing. And if you say, like, you can't eat this food, you cannot eat ice cream, you cannot eat carbs, you cannot eat sugar, you know, whatever, all of a sudden it's like, if it's off limits, it's one of those things where as soon as it's available, as soon as you have it, as soon as one bite, it's, here's what happens when you, as soon as you have it, as soon as there's one bite goes down, it's like, well, I fucked up, so I'm gonna have the whole fucking thing now. Whereas, like, because the association with that food being bad, well, I fucked up by having one bite, so I'm gonna eat the whole tub. It's like, that's not how it works. And right, the less you demonize it and the more it's okay to have, the less you're gonna feel the need to just wolf it all down.
Oh, I truly believe that. Yeah, I totally believe that.
We're very much on the same page with that. Okay, let's see. What is one major benefit and one major drawback of intermittent fasting?
Benefit, I think, and this was really a huge benefit for me, meal size. So your meals are going to be bigger because you've condensed your eating window a little bit. And therefore, snacking, mindless snacking tends to pretty much go away for a lot of people because you're eating bigger meals. So you don't have any kind of hunger in between meals. So I think that's a big advantage for many people who tend to just snack and nibble all day long. Disadvantage could be your schedule and how it would work with and trying to set an eating window that might work for you. When I did it, I think my eating window started at 10. And I'll tell you, when I first started, don't talk to me between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. because I was like a mad woman. I was hungry, really hungry. And literally, I mean, I'm a rule follower. So it's at 10 a.m. So I'm in the kitchen looking at the clock 2 minutes before 10, waiting for that clock to say 10 before I took a bite. I took it to an extreme, but you know, that was tough. That whole window before your first meal to me was tough. I think if you're busy and you keep yourself occupied a little bit more than maybe I did, it would be easier. But I think that if it doesn't jive with your schedule, like teachers have a real tough time with that because they just can't sit there and plop down and eat at 1 o'clock in the afternoon because they have kids. So it may not work as well for some people that might be teachers as other jobs or something.
Got it. And looking back, would you be as strict with that 10 o'clock rule? Like if it was 2 minutes before it, would that matter or no?
No, of course it wouldn't. It wouldn't matter at all. And that was the first time I'd ever done it. And I'm like, okay, I want to do it right. I want to get into a groove, you know, and hit it. And so, yeah, it was a little bit over the top for sure. But I think that was one program that you had us do. It was a month long thing, 1 week of alternating weeks of intermittent fasting and rapid fat loss.
Yep.
And yeah, by the last week of intermittent fasting, I was like, yeah, I'm hungry. I'm eating.
and that's a lot of the learning process. Sometimes with the mastery process usually starts with being overly meticulous about certain things. And as you become more and more adept and masterful with it, you become less of a stickler and more of a flexible dieting is the most advanced form of dieting. Being an intuitive eater is the most advanced form. I think a lot of people just say, well, just you should be an intuitive eater. It's like, okay, well, thanks, fuckstick. Well, how do you get there? Like, it's one of those things. And so it's why it's like, when I first did intermittent fasting, I was like 18, 17, the first time I tried it, I did the same thing. It was like eating window was law. And it was like, that's like, you don't eat like a minute before, but as you progress and learn, it's like, listen, chill the fuck out. It doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter. Stop like making it hard on yourself. So I'm glad that was brought up. It's important.
And that's also when people say now, you know, you broke the fast because you had a sip of a protein shake before you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it was just asked in the inner circle recently, right? Someone was asked I think it was in the inner circle recently. We had in one of our Q&As, but it's one of the most common questions. Like, can you have a protein shake during the fasting phase? Like, 'cause I heard that it breaks your fast and like, I'm worried about that. and it, this was the Inner Circle Q&A we had recently.
Yeah.
I remember. And from a fat loss perspective, it doesn't fucking matter because all that matters is by the end of the day, calories in, calories out, protein intake. That as long as your calories and protein are in check, it doesn't matter if you're fasting or not. There are other possible benefits of intermittent fasting outside of fat loss that you will lose in if you break the fast, but there's no, to my knowledge, there's no definitive research saying it's definitively going to make you live longer. It's going to definitively make you disease free. It's definitively going to like it's. There are some benefits, but to be worried or concerned or anxious about breaking your fast by having a protein shake is a waste of time and energy. There's so many other things you can be doing with your time.
Oh, so many other things.
Okay, so. And I know the answer to this question. I'm purposefully asking this because I know your answer is very good. Number one, do you count calories? And number two, if yes, what application do you use to track them? And you're laughing because you know I know the answer.
I sometimes count calories, not all the time. And I've done it more frequently recently than I have in a while. And when I do, I have a spreadsheet on the desktop of my computer. That's what I use to track them. It works great, by the way.
And how do you do that? How do you track it?
So I literally will write down what I ate and the serving size, and I will write down the calories, some of which I've done so much, I know what it is, but if I don't, I'll Google it.
So just to clarify, if you don't know how many calories are in a food, you will go to www.google.com.
That's it.
And you will type in how many calories are in this food.
How many calories in 4 ounces of chicken? Boom. And guess what? It tells you.
And that's, I specifically asked that question because it's one of the most common questions. I don't know how to track calories. It's overwhelming. I don't know what to do. And what I love about what you do is it's literally you go to Google, you type in the amount that you're eating of the food that you're eating. It tells you exactly how many calories it has. And then you put it into your spreadsheet, not even an application. You can use an application if you want, but you just use a spreadsheet, which I love. Mm-hmm. And you tally it up every day. You add it up and that's it.
I don't even have to add it up. I mean, a spreadsheet will do that for me. So it's super easy. And I'll put, I actually have two columns. I'll have protein grams next to it too. So I'm adding both of those up. And yeah, I can highlight and add whatever. It'll add everything for me, you know?
And now, Susan, let me ask you this. What if the exact food, the precise exact food that you're eating is not in Google and or in MyFitnessPal or whatever, and they give you a different one, so you're not sure if it's 100% exactly the right amount of calories? What do you do?
I do the best I can. For me, it's not a big deal. You know, if I can't weigh it or measure it or whatever, and I don't have Google will come up with something different. I'm just going to go with it. It's probably going to be really, really close. I'm not hung up on calories anymore like that.
The difference between 50 calories or it might, maybe like having some variance, there's no reason to let that concern you.
Correct.
It's not going to be the make it or break it. It's not going to ruin anything. You round up. You round up to the nearest 100 or whatever, nearest 50 or 100, and you call it a day. You give your best guess because at least you're tracking something and getting a general idea rather than just saying, ah, fuck it. Well, I guess I'm not going to track that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I have rounded up before and sometimes I'll use just whatever pops up. It is what it is at that point. It's perfect. Not going to make or break anything.
Okay. If someone cannot do a single chin-up, what would be the most important piece of workout advice you could give them to help them do their first chin-up?
I would say, a couple things.
One.
But I would say I would start getting a strong core. That's what I would do. And I would start either with plank, you know, get a strong plank and not just, which is what I see a lot of people just get up there in their plank and they're just sitting there. No, a fully engaged plank with your glutes squeezed so hard, your abs squeezed so hard, and your shoulders backing down so hard. Then work on holding that, because that's how you hold a plank. Get super strong there, and then continuing with core, get really strong with a hollow hold, because that is a big transition into chin-ups. So I would start there. And then, of course, you're going to start building your back and your shoulders and all that.
Got it. Now, if someone can do 3 chin-ups and wants to do 10, what would be the most important piece of workout advice you give them to help them achieve that?
So they can do 3 and they want 10. Okay. So I would incorporate them, keep incorporating them regularly into your workout routine. I would start varying what you're doing, not just try to struggle and get number 4 and number 5. Stop beating that horse, but start adding different variations in there, like clusters, slow eccentrics, you know, jump up and slow your way down, hang, and then start and never underestimating the power of rowing and pulling, pull downs, rows of all kinds, all that kind of stuff, and hit those super hard.
Perfect. What is the first word that comes to mind when someone tells you not to eat fruit because the sugar will make you fat?
Oh my God, that's 3.
Oh my God. Okay, perfect. Okay, I was totally expecting an explicit, like some swearing in there.
Something like that.
Just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
If someone travels a lot for work and struggles with eating well on the road, what would be the most important piece of nutrition advice you could give them?
I think I would have, instead of trying to track what you're eating and get all that, because that's going to be next to impossible, I would tell them, try to have kind of that plate rule of half your plate is veggies, quarter protein, quarter starch, or something like that. Aim for that, and including into that having a big salad every single day.
Got it. Okay, so every meal, instead of like counting your calories, you can make sure that every meal is on one plate and it's split up into that half veggies,
yep,
have protein, some starch, and a little bit of fat, and then also having at least one meal be a big salad.
Yep.
Except for the Cobb salad, because everyone knows that's like the cheeseburger of salads.
Yeah. With ranch dressing too, right? Yeah.
Okay. What are your top 3 favorite exercises to build stronger, more defined shoulders?
My favorites.
I knew it.
Oh, wow.
I almost went with 1. I was like, all right, I'll give her 3.
Yeah. Wow. That's tough. I like doing anything shoulders. For building shoulder strength. Okay. So I like hitting shoulders from all directions. So an overhead press of some kind. I have particularly like using the Smith machine for that, because I think we went to that when going with dumbbells or a heavy barbell, my shoulder stability, probably it was not a good idea at the time. And I have come to love that. Yeah. I absolutely love it. And I think that has done wonders for my shoulders. So I like that. I like doing, I love rear delts. I love, love, love. I should have put that number 1 because I like that even more, actually. So any kind of rear delt, dumbbells, or I've loved using the cable recently too. So I like that. And, you know, my shoulders love chin-ups too. So I'm going to put those in there as well.
Love it. Love it. All right, let's see. We're nearing the end. Let's see. Okay. If someone is nervous to go to the gym because they're worried about what people will say or think of them, what is the most important piece of advice you'd give them?
Well, I mean, I think I would tell them, I mean, are they afraid just to go into the gym at all? If you're intimidated to go into the gym, I would say, first of all, people, we always think people are looking at us and staring at us, and they aren't really. They're into their own little world. They're doing their own thing. If you see someone looking at you, smile at them, you know, say hi or whatever, and just focus on doing your thing. And I think what also really helps is if you walk into the gym with a plan. Like if you walk into the gym and not know what you're going to do, then you're going to start thinking, okay, everyone's looking at me. I don't know what I'm doing. And then you're going to end up downstairs on the elliptical or something. So just understand that people aren't looking at you like we think they are looking at us. They don't do that. And if they do, just smile and say hi, and then have a plan when you go, and just and focus on you.
Love it. Okay. Last four questions. What scares you?
Death. Without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
It's simple enough. Yeah. But you're not going to die. You're immortal. So that's
I'm hoping. I'm hoping I'm around for a long time.
What makes you happy?
Wow. A lot of things make me happy. Being able to help people really makes me happy. Really, really, really makes me happy.
Perfect. I love that answer. What makes you laugh so hard your cheeks hurt?
No.
Not your butt cheeks, your face cheeks.
A lot of things, but my gut answer is my son, Mike.
I've never heard you mention Mike's name without literally hearing the smile on your face and also a laugh accompanying it.
Yeah. The dude's like freaking hilarious.
That's awesome. Okay. Last question, Susan, what legacy do you want to leave behind?
I think I would like people to remember me as somebody who cared deeply for what she did. She found her passion a little late in life, but she found it. And that my intentions are always good, and that I made a difference in people's lives. That's what I would like. Yeah.
Susan, where can people find you?
Primarily on Instagram, at Susan Niebergall Fitness. And I'm on Facebook, Susan Niebergall Fitness. Everything is Susan Niebergall Fitness. You can find me everywhere. YouTube, Twitter.
Could you spell Susan Niebergall Fitness? Because that's one of the questions people are like, I couldn't find Susan Niebergall.
Yeah. That is not easy, granted. S-U-S-A-N. And then Niebergall is N-I-E-B-E-R-G-A-L-L Fitness.
Perfect. Is there any parting words you'd like to say, Susan?
No, this was fun.
This was really delightful. Thank you.
This was amazing. And I do want to add that working with you is like something that makes me super happy, really happy. And I feel blessed to be able to work with you.
Well, the feeling is mutual. And I was expecting, I think your answer of Mike was the better answer. But when I said laugh so hard it makes your cheeks hurt, I thought you were going to say the penis game. But I think your answer was the better answer. But still, the penis game does make you laugh wicked hard.
I will say the penis game was right up there. It did cross my mind, yes.
And anyone is listening and they don't know what the penis game is, Susan and I have done it publicly in their videos of us doing it, where the goal is you can have a partner, just one other person. You can do it in a group of people where in a public place, one person will say the word penis and the other person has to say it louder. And you progressively go back and forth to see who is willing to scream the word penis as loud as possible in a public setting. And I will say, just for the record, I've been undefeated in our relationship thus far. I've belted it out and I haven't even struck like my highest chord yet. I'll go deep. But Susan has said she's going to come out one day and surprise me. So we'll see.
I am just warming up. And just remember this, when you least expect it, expect it.
When you least expect the penis, expect the penis. I love you, Susan. Thank you so much.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
And that wraps up this episode of the Jordan Syatt Mini Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions or comments, please do not hesitate to let me know. And again, for those of you who don't know, Susan and I are both the coaches in the Inner Circle. If you've been looking for a new workout program to follow, if you've been looking for clear-cut, straightforward, no BS nutrition guidelines to follow, if you've been looking for, above all, a supportive community of people who are there to help encourage you when you need it most, and also who you can help encourage when they need it most. If you just want to be a part of a positive, helpful, encouraging community to help you reach your fitness goals, whatever they may be, check out the Inner Circle. We'd love to have you. Any questions on that, shoot me an email, jordan@sciatfitness.com with Inner Circle in the subject line. I'll talk to you soon.